Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, a wonderful approach family. This is your host, Mama Seven, and we are doing radio. It has been a super duper interesting week, month, year. 2020 is definitely going down in the books as the one to survive, the one we're trying to get over, okay? It is making it quite difficult. This show is coming on the end of devotion, but it's still Wednesday, you know. Still got fast in place, still have whites in place, still have a lot of the rules and restrictions in place. And there is an air in our universe, in our country, that is extremely volatile, and it's always there. It's always, you know, it never gets very far from us. What a lot of people don't know about the shows is that I schedule these shows, what, maybe 2 months in the future? I don't really know the what's and the whys. But when I see it unfold, I'm like, well, there it is, you know. So that's what that's for. So that's what that's about. It's always something extremely pertinent, and it's pertinent to me. Then I turn around, I have a conversation here, I have a conversation there, and I find out it's pertinent to quite a few people. And so, you know, I'm very, very glad that I think for about 2 years, maybe 2.5 years, we've been doing this radio strong. We have been working together. I'm so proud of all the people that have done radio with me. And, I mean, this has just grown and grown and grown. And so I'm glad to see that. And I'm ever so thankful to Spirit for guiding us, you know. Yeah, you got to listen, but it also helps to have good guidance. And that's what Spirit gives us. We're always right on time when it comes to, I hate to say current events, but when it comes to things for us, you know, Spirit is always giving us that time, that space, that platform to plan ahead of time to get this done, right? So, Last week, before even getting to the awesomeness of this week, last week we had a chance to speak to our wily teenager, and speaking about that self-confidence, that self-esteem, how that impacts our spiritual relationships, and it really does. It was a really, really good show. It was some of these shows are brutal to go through, because they're telling us and they're reminding us all the things that we have either have to work on or we just got finished working on. With us just completing this devotion, I mean, literally this Saturday was the last day. So there was so much information that came about with those devotions, with that fast. There, you know, people were having major breakthroughs, and I mean, and half of us don't want devotions to be over. Even though I'm glad to be able to eat before the sun goes down, because those 8:30 days were kind of long, but I still enjoy, you know, waking up together, making our prayers together, and just that camaraderie and seeing people kind of stretch out a little bit, you know. Try a little harder, get into your prayer mode and your spirituality a little deeper. And so, you know, it was wonderful to me to see people in work. And I had quite a few people, you know, matching me, you know what I'm saying? I thought I didn't know how I was going to live through the first 3 days. And then to think that I had people that were taking on just as much challenge as me, I was impressed, because I think I'm pretty good with it. And so to have you compete with me, that means you're pretty good with it. So to come from that intense idea, the tense concept, all of the journaling, all of the writing, all the praying, all the waking up the crack of dawn because the sun decided it wanted to rise at 6:30 in the morning, all of that to come back into the world, and coming back is always difficult. You know what I'm saying? I really don't want to come back sometimes. Sometimes it's easier to stay with spirit. It's easier just to pray 24/7. It's easier to, you know, to sit in the temple and close your eyes to what's going on the outside. But that's not really the way God made it. God designed this for us to learn what we need to learn and then go out and teach either directly or by example. And so staying locked up inside does not achieve the goals that we set out for. So it is not easy, but this is what we have to do. And so, but, you know, we're trying to maintain some of it. Now, don't let it just all go. Don't act like the last 30 days didn't just happen, you know. But today's show, to me, is very, very pertinent when it comes to understanding today's current events, right? It's so important because I consider myself an elder slash a pre-elder. How about that? And so, you know, here I am, an elder, a pre-elder. I'm working on developing people. And what I'm realizing as I'm working on developing people is that I don't really know this younger generation. They are very different. They move differently. They act differently. They're different. And one thing that I don't remember my elders ever doing is asking me what I wanted, okay? I don't ever remember anyone asking me that. You know, I remember getting told a whole lot of things. Good grief. I had 1,001 aunties, and they were serious. And so I remember getting told a lot. And even now, as I'm getting up there, I tell the young people a lot, you know. It's really a real heavy-duty, one-sided conversation. This is what you're about to do, okay? But, you know, these aren't babies. I'm not talking about, you know, my youngest in his group. I'm talking about my oldest. And so I'm talking about from that 20 to 30. You know, there's so much life changes that happens between 20 and 30 that it can really send you for a loop, okay? You'll spend the rest of your life recovering from what you do in your 20s and 30s. And so we're going to have two shows today, all right, at the same time. Pay attention. The first show we're going to have, I would like the young people to tell us what they care about. Tell me what you care about. Tell me what matters to you. What are you thinking about? You know, I mean, and I personally give each of you permission to speak freely. When I ask the question, I really want the answer. Don't tell me what you think I may want to know, because you don't know what I want to know. I want to know the truth. I want to know what's in your heart. And so I want to know what you care about, where your passions are, the things that get you going. And then the second part of the show is we're going to have, there may be an elder or two that would like to share what they learned about young people. And elders, you know, an elder, I'm telling you, 40 and up, you could be elder, okay? Don't tell me what you think. Tell me what you learned. Tell me what you heard some young person say, and you're like, yo, that's for real. I get that, you know. We have to give them their space to grow, and we have to make a space in our organization, heart, home understandings for them. If we elders, grown folks, don't make space for them, they will leave. We will lose them to the world, and we won't have any input. Real talk. So what we're doing tonight, what we're doing today, is we're going to be listening. You know, ask a question or two, you know. But we're going to be listening to find out what they care about, because we need to know if we're going to truly be supportive to them. We're not a support to them if we're still thinking about what we know and we know about what we did. Things is different, okay? There's Facebook. Just that one thing alone, social media, makes so much difference. You know, back in my day, we could have a wild night, make all kinds of mistakes. Only people that are going to remember are the people that were there, because everybody didn't have a cell phone with a video camera in their pocket. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have to worry about the rumor mill or something going up on Facebook. And I got 5,000 friends. Anything that I say, 5,000 people have access to. So I'd be like, sheesh, you know, is this politically correct? So this is me thinking, is this politically correct? I want to know, do my young folks even care? You know, do you care how many people see what you're thinking? Do you care how many people know what's going on? You know, and tonight, a big part of this is because these are the leaders of that's coming up. And we, the elders, have to learn how to let go and let them lead a little bit. And we have to find the best way to do that. And the only way we're going to do that is by listening and giving them that opportunity to speak and to have their word shared. So that's what we're doing tonight. It's a little different, but it's very necessary. Every now and again, I will stop and say, I need to hear from you. Every now and again, you know, I will say, okay, oh, I remember we did the men's show. We had a show just for the men folk. You know, we said, hey, y'all always talk about you want a chance to speak. Here you go. It was nothing but men. And the show was incredibly awesome. We had more people calling in for the men's show than we did the women's show. So every now and again, because it's important to me, diversity is important to me. I believe each one of us has something to contribute. So I just wanted to kind of preface this show and let everyone understand to pack their patience. You may have to thicken up your skin for a little bit, because I really do want my young people to speak freely. So, you know, this is not about getting in trouble later. We want to know. We ask, so you got to tell us. All right. So to do is press 1, young person or 2, and press 1 that lets me know that you would like to speak. And, you know, I really just want to hear what you care about right now. And I want to know, you know, that's going to help us to help you in the future, okay? That's the purpose of this. So I have a brave soul right here that has pressed 1. We're going to welcome them to the show. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings.
Hey. Is this the little
one? Keontae.
That's a shame. Her name is Little One, okay? So I'm going to give you a full name tonight. Keontae, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm glad that you called in. Especially my young legs out there who get told not just what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and everything else like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get an opportunity to speak. This is a rare occurrence,
right?
So I want you to take advantage of it. So I'm so glad that you called in and pressed 1. Could you tell me in your own words, what do you care about? Tell me what you care about.
To be completely honest, especially right now, I really care about myself.
Okay.
I think I care about myself a lot because I don't do that enough. You know, I'm growing up trying to please people, and I'm only 25, and I still don't have any children yet. So I'm afraid if I don't do that now, I'll never get the advantage to do it. And I think I ask, you know, for my elders to just be there and, you know, have an understanding that not being used to doing certain things and still trying to figure things out, and give me a chance to figure it out on my own, you know. Just being there, letting me know that my opinion matters, just like what you said. You know, growing up, you kind of get told stay in a child's place. So, you know, having the opportunity to kind of speak up without being seen as, you know, talking back or, you know, looking a certain way, I think we all, you know, as younger generations, really appreciate having that moment to kind of, you know, get a chance to say something about how we feel. Just being in there, really, and showing us that you support us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just want you to know, when you are told what to do, or voluntold to do stuff, it's painful for us to see you making mistakes. It's so painful.
Right.
We're like, oh, let me help her. Let me do it. I put a helmet on you and tell you, okay, just don't knock your brains out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There are lessons that you have to learn for yourself. And I think when you learn them yourself, you won't forget them.
Right. Absolutely.
But it's
not
painful for us. It's painful because we're like, we want to help you, you know. But I definitely understand wanting to take steps yourself. So how? What's a good in between for that?
I guess. I don't know. It's hard because sometimes it's like you don't want to say, you know, being an elder, you don't want to say a certain thing because then you feel like you don't want them to have, you know, you don't want them to not come to you. I don't know. I guess it's verbal support and letting me know I am here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just hearing I am here always makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And maybe trying to create a no judgment zone, you know.
Right.
You know, maybe if there's a place where, you know, words can really be spoken freely without, you know, fear of I told you so. I never said I told you so.
Right.
To me, that is like blasphemous. Who cares?
Yeah.
Number one, you didn't tell me. Spirit told me. That's what I've been feeling. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you didn't say that. But you know,
right.
I think I told you so is like one of the hardest things to hear. And I know people that will shy away because they don't want to hear I told you so, you know.
Right.
So
right.
We have
to, I think when I hear I told you so, I think like sometimes when I hear I told you so, it's just as bad as like my mom saying, I'm not mad at you, I'm disappointed. It's like, oh.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
Right.
It
hurts. And we got to get there. And, you know, it's almost like coming up with code words, okay? We have, in my family, we have code words and we do sign language, okay? So
right.
I'll be hot, raring mad, and nobody will know because I haven't said anything. But if you could read that sign language, you'd be like, oh, snap. But
right.
I think it would be helpful if we had almost code words or signs or things that we could say when I need a minute, you know what I'm saying? Even if the words are, I need a minute, you know? I need a minute to vent, or, you know, I need you to hear but not hear what I'm saying, you know? There's there are ways to share with people without overexposing yourself. You just have to try, you know what I'm saying? And the elders, they may act like they don't want to listen, but they know how important this upcoming generation is. every elder, every spiritualist, every African traditional religious, every indigenous person knows that they are one generation from extinction. We are literally one generation away. If we lose two generations back to back, it's gone. It'll be something like they used to do. And so we have a responsibility to have this continue, and therefore we have a responsibility to reach you, even if it's something we don't like to do. I'm not, you couldn't tell, but social media has not been my biggest fan. I don't spend hours there. I don't enjoy and have a good time, even though I do like kitten videos. But, you know, that's not my key. I don't like to advertise there. I don't like to be political there. But that's the way of the world. So I don't want to lose y'all because I don't like social media, you know? So, you know, I think the elders have to kind of extend that olive branch a little bit more than what we do. So, well, thank you for sharing with us, you know.
Thank you.
If there's anything that you could say to someone in your generation, we're talking 20 to 30, what would it be?
I would say definitely reach out to your elders before it's too late, because you never know when's the last time you're going to have that conversation with them. Try to know as many people as you can in your family, from ancestors to great-grandma, great-great-great-great. Just you know, write down names. Just try to reach out. You know, we want our elders to kind of reach into us, but we also need to, you know, take a bigger step and reach out to them, because they may not even know that we want to know if we don't even say anything.
Right.
So
correct.
Yeah.
So correct. All right. Well, thank you, dear. Thank you for calling in and being brave.
Thank you.
It
no
takes
problem.
A lot of heart to stand up and say, hey, this is
all right. Right.
Thank you.
Peace.
All right. So, look, I hope everybody's taking their notes, because I'm going to ask an elder to, what did you get? What did you hear? You know, what was going on as you were listening? So I have another young person. My millennials, you have to press 1. That lets me know that you'd like to speak. But I have another young person here that's feeling brave. Appreciate you. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Joanne with The Plan. How are you?
Joanne with The Plan. I got it. How you doing, honey?
I'm fine.
Good. Look, I tell people, don't miss your opportunity to speak. You may not get another opportunity. Okay, so.
Yes, I had to hop
doing?
On this one. I am fine. It's a couple things I want to address. I'm not quite in the age range. I'm 32, but I'm still going to say 30. I'm 30-something.
Okay.
So
I'm going to give you the pass. You got it.
Thank you. It's a lot of things I would like to address. First, okay, I am a teacher, so I feel some of the things that the elders feel about my generation when I see the generation that I teach. So when I put myself in the elder position, I realize, okay, sometimes my generation don't want to hear things because sometimes we feel like we know it. And some of us are not humble enough to accept advice because we feel that we know it, you know. And that's one of the areas that my generation have to work on. We have to work on being open and being mindful of the things that we take in, because it just because we find it on Google, it doesn't mean it's right.
Right.
You know, we have access to technology. We have access to a lot of things that the previous generation didn't use as much. So, you know, I love what you said when you said that, you know, sometimes we just have to find some kind of compromise. And I think that's important because a lot of us are breaking generational curses. You know, this is the age of the Aquarius. A lot of my elders was born in the age of Pisces. The age of Aquarius is the age of information. You know, so a lot of us are striving to break generational curses as we learn mm-hmm. about ourselves. So it puts some of us in the mindset of, oh, you know, if we're breaking all of these things, then, you know, who can we really call on? And so making ourselves available for each other as far as generational gaps is mm-hmm. concerned, that's very, very important, because that's how I teach my students. I make things relatable to them so they can understand. Sometimes we have to, as elders, sometimes that you have to explain it more than one way, because it's different learning styles. Mm-hmm. Some of us learn by doing. We learn by hearing. We learn by seeing. So we have to incorporate that with our teaching, not just in school, but with spiritual teaching too.
Mm-hmm.
We learn different ways, and it's okay. It's all right. But we have to make sure that we respect the differences.
Mm.
I don't know with what my mom say, but at the same time, you know, I have to think about where she came from, because a lot of our elders came mm-hmm. from the hush-hush generation. Don't ask anything. Mm-hmm. Don't say anything. You just hush and learn. And a lot of us in this age range, we really don't know how to do that. So it creates problems. But the good thing is, you know, some of us are really trying. Some of us are really putting in the effort to make sure that we're humble as possible, because this journey it brings humility. It doesn't matter what age, because elders learn stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has mm-hmm. to be humble, you know. So mm-hmm. the humility has to take place with both sides.
Yes.
As far as what I'm interested in, I'm more interested in seeing what my purpose is in God's eyes. What does he want me to do? So in order for me to get there, I had to lay down my ego, as I stated before mm-hmm. the fast. You know, some of us have an ego problem. And, you know, with these timelines that we are giving, or you have to be 30, you make sure you have a baby by 30. You got to have your house by this mm-hmm. and that. It's a lot of pressures that we deal with that some of them is not realistic
mm-hmm.
on both sides,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure that we're being more understanding and more realistic. When you make goals, we use the SMART method, you know, specific,
right.
measurable, attainable, realistic, and timed. So if we mm-hmm. use the SMART method to get things done, things will be much better between the generations. But we have
yes.
to be humble enough to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the problem. We don't listen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. You said a big word. You said the R word, the respect. We don't respect each other enough. And I think it's part of a fear factor almost. Like the elders, they don't want to be taken advantage of. They don't want to be overrun with this younger group, all right? And then the young ones, they don't want to be held back, you know what I'm saying? And they kind of want to do it their own way. And so
mm-hmm.
There's not a respect that we need each other, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We don't come together with the idea of mutual beneficial understanding. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's mutually beneficial when we work together as a population rather than creating further gaps and further divides.
Mm-hmm.
But that respect, I'm telling you, in order to give it, you have to give it. People have to
mm-hmm.
feel you respecting them. And I don't think elders do enough of that. I don't think young people do enough. And so, again, when it comes to that compromise, it's like, can I try a little bit harder to get my point across? You know what I'm saying? Can I try a little bit harder to be kind to someone? Sometimes I just got to take a deep breath, you know. But when I do, I'm like, okay, I can see where this conversation went off track. I can see clearly. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. I think that respect is a good thing, because when you give it, you get it. When you get it, you give it. And we have
yes,
to have
ma'am.
More of that. We have to have more of that.
Yes, we do.
And everybody
yes,
needs
we
to
do.
Feel it. Everybody wants to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to feel it. So look,
and it's not an age range. It's not an age limit on who God uses. And we have to get out of that mindset that, oh, well, I'm not listening to you because you're this age or you don't know what you're talking about. God can use anybody. He can use any age. I mean,
that's right.
We have to get that, and we have to instill that into ourselves, because sometimes when my students correct me, you know, I have to remember, you know what? I have to let them know that you were right. You know what? Miss G made this mistake. Miss Gates played the wrong note. Y'all heard it? Yes, I heard it. Well, that's a good thing. I taught you enough for you to see where I made the mistake at.
Right, right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's,
and that's real. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, people learn authentic learning opportunities. They have to learn, you know, some people do need to know that the stove is hot, you know. And once they learn it, though, they got it. And you know what the question is about.
Yes, ma'am. I'm not touching the stove anymore, so, yes, I'm one of those. Definitely. Definitely.
I'm not touching the stove anymore.
Ma'am.
Okay, I got you. Like, look, don't wait. Don't think I'm going to jump in front of you. Now, there's some elders that will jump in front of you, and they won't let you touch that stove. I'm going to put a helmet on you. Helmet not going to help your hand. You know, that hand, you'll be all right. I'm just trying to stop your brains from oozing, you know. So,
yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Some people do have to learn like that. Well, I appreciate you calling in and sharing with us all the good ways. And I like the idea of you saying, you know, you've been on both sides of this, so you really do get it. So keep being patient. And I want to shout out all of you in this age range. There's always someone younger than you watching you. There's always someone that is going to take your example as law, you know. And so no matter how young you are, you're never too young to do the right thing. You know, you're never too young to start standing on principle and start, you know, having some real legs about you when it comes to what you're going to stand for. So I appreciate you calling
me,
honey.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Look, these young folks are teaching today. I love it. All right. The phone lines are lit, and it's such a wonderful thing to see them ready to share. It really is a blessing for us that they do. So let's see. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how y'all doing tonight?
Hey, this is Solomon, huh?
Just to start off, I was voluntold to do this. I did not have a choice. But I'm happy to be here.
You always have to be voluntold. I need you to understand that I need you to bring that male component in. You know what I'm saying? I've been told on numerous occasions that it's important, you know, to have all aspects, you know, there. So, yes, you are voluntold. But I did not tell you what to say.
No, you didn't.
Full range on that.
But the main question being, what was something that I'm focusing on?
Yeah, what do you think?
My biggest thing right now at my age, my biggest thing is kind of just finding who I am and what I really want to do, because I've been kind of battling with it since I was a kid. Even when it comes to, like, out of the womb, my mom wanted me to go to North Carolina A&T and be an engineer.
And
I didn't even know what an engineer was when I was in middle school, but I knew that's where I was going, that's what I was doing. Until I got into high school and I turned 17, 18, and I realized I have a passion for talking to people, helping people get through their issues, and in some way helping me find a better understanding of me and my purpose in life. So I think my senior year, I was like, Mom, I don't want to go to school for that anymore. I want to go to school for social work. And that's when I found little piece by piece of what I really wanted to be and what I really wanted to do and what my passion really was in life. So that was, and even now at 21, even though I just turned 21, I don't feel 21, but even at 21, I'm still trying to figure out what I really want to do, what I really like, and things like that. And I'm kind of just taking the time to focus on me and the things that I like and what I want and what I really want to do in life.
Yeah. And that's real talk. That's real talk. I had your stuff planned. Like you said, he's not joking. From birth, I was his baby, Aggie Pride. Can you say that? And that's even my alma mater. You know, I just knew that's where he was going. And then you're going to be doing this. And then you're going to be doing that. And I had a tight schedule. And I remember when he started wiggling in that schedule. And I stepped back a little bit because I was sure my plan was to disappear the plan, of course. But I stepped back a little bit and to see how he was going to wiggle. And seeing him stretch and grow, I was like, okay, this is not, you know, he didn't just wake up one morning and say, you know, I'm going to go do this just because he said not to, blah, blah, blah. I could tell that he had thought about it. He had read about it. He had done his research and then came up with a solid plan that I could respect. So I was like, you know, I can respect this plan and this idea. But, you know, again, with the compromise, I had to feel as if there had to be another plan. You just can't tell me no. You had to tell me something else. You know, you had to research this, that, and the other. Can't just be like, no. And I saw that. I saw the plan, the growth, the development. And I saw how he could do that, you know. Now, as far as trying to find your way, though, what pieces of information are you doing? Are you pulling from to find out who you are?
I think, honestly, me being at my low point, I really find out what I want to do. You know, you always find out who somebody really is when they're not looking. And I definitely found out when I wasn't, when nobody was looking, I was always doing something else. I'm big. I'm 6'3". I was 6'3" ever since I walked into high school. Even when I was a little kid, I was big. Everybody and their mother wanted me to play football. I didn't like football. I'm like, I'm running from my coaches. I did not like football. So when I had my free time, I wasn't studying film. I just wasn't into it. So when I wasn't doing the things that people wanted me to do is when I really figured out what I wanted to do, because I was spending so much time doing things for other people that on my free time, I was like, okay, well, I really want to do this, so I'm going to do it now. So with me being my isolation and giving myself time to think freely and have enough space to do what I really want to do is where I found my beginning of who I really am and what I really wanted to do in life, because it was hard for a long time. I think I pulled from you. I pulled from my dad. My dad definitely he went a different path from the usual, so that it gave me a little bit of confidence. And when I told I remember on Thanksgiving, I told my dad I don't want to play football anymore. And I remember it was my dad, my uncle, my grandma. They're huge country back road. They eat and breathe football. I thought they were going to kill me on Thanksgiving. I thought they were going to kill me when I said that I didn't want to play football anymore. And I told them, and nobody changed facial expression. Nobody even said anything. They just said, okay. And from that point on, I realized that, A, I was old enough to make my own decisions, and they were going to respect it because I'm at that age now where I can make – they're going to give me enough room to make my own mistakes. And that if they see that I'm passionate about something, they're not going to fight it. Like you said, if I came up with a plan, not a better plan, but a plan that I wanted to do, and they couldn't do anything but respect it. And that gave me some more confidence to keep digging into myself to find out what I really wanted to do in life.
Yep. And I just want to piggyback on that. For all my people that have made a plan and they stuck by it and they've done this, you can change the plan too. Don't think, oh, I've committed, you know, 5 years, and when you're young and you're talking about a quarter of your life, you're like, dang, that's almost all my life right here. I've done this. So what? It doesn't matter. If you decide you want to look into another plan, make another plan. You know, it really is all about you. And I was so glad to hear you. And I think Keontae started us off with thinking about you and really having to focus on kind of pushing the other opinions to a side. It's like you absorb it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to put it right here. I'm going to put it to the side. I'm going to put it to the side. I'm not ignoring it. I'm not forgetting it. But for half a second, I need to be able to hear my own voice in this, in between what the media says, you know, what jobs I have, what my peers are doing, what my parents say. There does have to be a moment where you can distinguish your voice from the masses and be able to say, this is what I want, you know. And so it takes a lot of confidence to do it. It takes a lot of confidence. It takes a lot of heart. It takes having open relationships. And young people, y'all are responsible just as much as the elders in creating an open relationship for talking. You know, so every time, you know, that your elder comes and says, hey, we need to talk, don't shut me out, run away, don't do that. You know, share with me. Take a moment to share with me, because when you want to share with me, then I will already have an understanding how we're going to do things, how we talk, you know, how we're going to fix this. Solomon, what would you say to someone in your age bracket? What would you say to them about trying to just kind of maneuver through where y'all are? You know, what do you tell your peers? How do they make it through?
What I do, what I tell people is do what you really want. And I remember, I forgot who told me, but they like you were saying, where I'm just turned 21, so anybody under me, like 18 up to 25, we're still young enough to be able to make mistakes now that mm-hmm. aren't going to take us our whole lives to recover from. But if you wait, the longer you wait, the harder it is for you to recover. And so my thing is make your mistakes now. Do what you really want to do. Don't chase. My biggest thing is people my age, they chase money. And I always tell people that I don't chase money. It doesn't get you what you really want. If you really want to do this, I say really do it, because money is not going to make you happy. I've been down that road. I've had everything I wanted and still not happy, and I've had nothing, and I've been really happy. So I know for a fact that money doesn't buy happiness, and it might look good, but follow what you really want to do, no matter what the circumstances might be.
Mhm. Yep. And every victory counts as a victory. You know, this is not, you know, there's not going to be some big judgment at the end of the day, blah, blah, blah. Take your victories as they come, all right? You know, you got through devotions and live, victory, check mark. I got through freshman year. I don't care if you graduated magna cum laude. I don't care about that. Did you make it through freshman year? Good, check. Okay, for those people out paying bills, did you make it through another month of bills? Okay, check, fine. You know, and as you have more victories, then you begin to have build more confidence in your own decision making. You know, so it's okay to make mistakes, make them while you're young, and it's never too late to make a change. Never too late. So, Solomon, thank you so much for calling in. You know, even though you were voluntold, you know, your insight, like I said, has value, and I'm glad that you shared it.
Yes, I'm always happy to hop on the call.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you're getting accustomed to a wonderful approach, volunteer methodology. So, yes, get accustomed. You're of age. Let's go. Talk to you later, baby.
Okay.
So, okay. You know, these young people, they're giving it up. They're speaking their truth. And I swear, we have to make time for them. You have to make space for them. I appreciate the phone lines are packed. You know, got lots of good people listening. I appreciate that. I appreciate you giving these young people an opportunity to share and to speak their words. And like I said, 9 o'clock, we're going to switch it over because I know somebody learned something, because I know I did. So we're going to really kind of work with them and show them that we're listening, okay? So got a caller that'd like to join us. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Greetings. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. We spoke earlier. How was your devotion?
Everything's good so far. I'm doing really great. I'm feeling well with the whole photography business and everything. And today I'm coming in for my godmom, but I wanted to speak on the disconnect between elders and young adults or teens like myself. I'm 17 years old. I just want to put that out there.
Is this Zakiya?
Yes.
Yay, you're a first-time caller. Welcome to A Wonderful Approach Radio. How wonderful. Yes, there is a disconnect between young people and elders. From your young eyes, tell us about it. What is that disconnect from?
Okay, so for me personally, like whenever it came to me and how I communicate with my grandparents and everything, usually I would stick to myself. That's usually my first approach when it comes to everything, because whenever I get into the mental state of feeling like, you know, I won't be accepted by anybody older than me, I usually distance myself a lot, and that's when the anxiety kicks in and everything. But for me personally, all I have to say is that usually it takes like one call a day to first establish the fact that you care about them no matter what they're going through or how much that they have to provide for you, and that you're willing to understand that they still want to have a connection with you. And it only takes one call or one meet or one conversation to sit here and be able to establish those boundaries whenever it comes down to conversation or how you interact with each other.
Awesome. Have you had an adult that really made you feel like there was no disconnect?
Well, my godmom, unique. For a long
time. And I
love
your godmom.
Thank you. I love her too. I'm glad that. Because for a long time, I wasn't able to, it was a disconnect because I wasn't able to see her as much as I really wanted to. But of course, we've always thought about each other and things like that. And now that I'm of age to sit here and interact with, old family members and things of that sort, I was able to get the chance of seeing her again and being able to speak to her for our bond to grow stronger and closer. And she has left a lot of room to be able to make sure that I feel comfortable and everything. So I've been really happy about that because it makes me feel comfortable inside my own skin, even being inside territories that I've never roamed before.
It makes me comfortable to be in my own skin. That's a lot.
Yes.
You know, I say a special thank you to your godmother for allowing you that space to be comfortable in your own skin. Because once you're comfortable there, you can be comfortable anywhere. That's the biggest challenge, getting comfortable with you, you know. And so she has done an awesome job of making space for you, making time for you. So that is awesome. We're going to give her a special shout out and hug and all that good stuff. And you're a first time caller. Thank you for calling in and sharing, because the whole purpose of this is so that we can minimize that disconnect. Hopefully, if we keep going like this, we don't have to have a disconnect. We don't have to have a place where young people don't feel comfortable speaking with elders, and where elders don't feel comfortable with the young people. They don't trust them. So we're going to work on that, and we're going to keep going from here, okay?
Most definitely.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for sharing how important that is, okay?
You're welcome. Stay blessed. Peace.
Thank you. Okay. She said some words there. Comfortable in my own skin. When she said it, I kind of cringed because I was like, oh, my God. You know, how many of us are doing that? Or flip it around, how many of us unintentionally, unknowingly are making people uncomfortable? And you don't have the right to make someone uncomfortable in their own skin. So if we're doing that, we have a responsibility to not do that. We have a responsibility to try to change that. You know what I'm saying? We cannot go around making people uncomfortable. But, you know, from what she was saying, from what I heard, her godmother, you know, our sweet unique, our joy guru, left a door open for her. She left a wide enough space open for her so that she could walk through when she was ready. And, you know, I just wonder how many of us adults, elders, whatever you want to call yourself, how many of us are truly leaving that space open for them? You know, how many of us are truly allowing them to learn the lessons that they have to learn for themselves? Or are we trying to get them to learn their lesson our way? That doesn't work. You know why? Because it's not the same problem that we had. Now, I remember as a young person, my mom said, oh, you always have to have 25 cents for a phone call and $5 for a cab ride home, okay? Nowadays, there ain't no pay phones, okay? There's just not any pay phones, you know what I'm saying? That you couldn't even pay for a call. There's no pay phones. $5 is not going to get you a car ride, Uber, nowhere, you know what I'm saying? We're just not the same. You know, back in the day, we couldn't even think about going out on dates. We didn't go out on dates individually. You know, we went out on dates with everybody, and then hopefully you could sit beside the person you really wanted to sit beside. Nowadays, with social media, unfortunately with our latchkey kids, with all that other stuff, it's not the same situation. I don't remember my 14-year-old has a phone that has internet that he got full access to. I don't remember having a computer maybe until maybe 5 years after my undergrad, okay? So having access to the internet in my hand, in my bedroom, 24 hours, day and night, we didn't have that. So that wasn't even something that our parents looked for. And it wasn't something that I was trained to look for as a parent. Nope, wasn't trained. I had to figure that one out myself. And so, you know, there are a lot of differences that they have. So we can't let them know, oh, this is the way I would have done it. We don't really know. We don't really know. I don't know what I would do if every time you did something silly, somebody pulled out a video camera and videotaped you. I don't know what I would have done. May not have been as silly, you know. There are all kinds of things that we really, really, we can tell you our opinion, but we don't really know what you're going through. At the same time, young people, the fact that I've made it to this point means I've made some mistakes, but I've also done some things correct. And listening to the things that I have done correct might give you an idea on how to do some things correctly. So don't hesitate, you know, to ask for some advice / listen to some advice, because there are things that we have to learn how to handle, okay? So I want to, you know, of course, look, our time is ticking. If there's any other young people that like to speak, all you have to do is press 1. I'm also going to open the floor up for my brave elders. For those, you know, we're going to say 40 and up, that would like to, you know, share their understanding of what they learned. What did you learn about this young, about some young people that you didn't know prior to? Okay? So I'm going to grab the phone line real quick. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, Mother Seven. How are you?
I am well. I am so well. How are you doing?
I am trying to stay dry down here, but
look,
I'm doing fantastic.
Try not to float away. I heard North Carolina's getting slaughtered as well. So everybody hold on tight, okay? We're going to do some praying.
Hold on. That's right. Do some praying. Make sure your ladies over there stay safe.
Yes.
You know, my brain freeze. I'm definitely one of the older family members. And first of all, I have to compliment my Solomon, your Solomon. Absolutely. Absolutely beautiful. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I am impressed, and I have to make a comparison between him and my youngest, Corey. They are the strong, silent type, but want to speak. When they started speaking, with authority, and I definitely had to back up and look at him in a different way. You're not mommy's baby anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I know I mentioned this to you before, he's coming back, you know? He calls me at least twice a week, and, you know, we'll talk for a while, and, you know, we'll talk about everything. And he got his own apartment, and he asked me to come up and bless his apartment for him.
Congratulations.
And I was like, thank you, thank you. I was shocked. I said, well, what do you mean? Well, you know how you do the things at the house and everything? I says, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to come up and bless the apartment for us. I said, okay. And how does the other side feel about it? Oh, she's interested. I said, okay,
awesome.
Fine. You know?
Awesome.
So,
stays together.
Stays together. Absolutely. Absolutely. And all the young people that were calling in this evening.
Beautiful.
It is. It is.
How beautiful.
And the one lady that was talking about talking to the ancestors, you know, the older generation and getting the information. And that is important because I've been doing the ancestry and I did my DNA testing and everything else like that. So that is definitely important to get that information while they still around and you can get it straight from them and they can, you know, come back to them a couple of times because I have brain freezes and I'm like, you know, if you come back to me and ask me the question again or in a different way, I can probably give you more information because, you know, something like here we have sit around and we do talking and I'll be listening to, you know, both of my boys going back and forth telling me stuff and I'm like, what? When did this happen? I'm like, okay, you did what?
Yeah.
I said, okay. Oh, Mom, you remember? Yeah. No, I don't remember that one. That must have been your grandmother, and I'm quite sure she didn't know.
Now tell me, and you know, we have children. You have a child a little bit older than mine, and then we got Corey. What have you learned from them?
Patience.
Okay.
Definitely patience. Like for them to make their own mistakes. I make suggestions now. It's not like, oh, well, you need to do this. Is it possible in your time schedule between 9 and 5 today that you can do something for me? You know, not like I need for you to, you know, take the garbage out or wash the dishes or something like that. You know, I have to speak in patience, ask, you know, to have their time, a moment of their time, because their time is precious too, you know. They have family or girlfriends and what have you and jobs. So, you know, their time is precious. And, you know, I'm just here, you know, to bring the grandkids over. And I had to, that was one thing I had to say to them, well, to my oldest, ask me. You know,
yeah, the relationship just don't change.
the relationship changing. You ask me if I will watch your children, you know, for a day, an hour, or whatever. Just don't come in and say, "Mom, I'll be back," and then I don't hear from you for 2 or 3 hours. You know, I'm pissed. I will call you. I will definitely call you. Go out on the patio and call you and, like, where is your behind? And why aren't you here? You know? So that was one thing. I'm not, you know, there we go again.
Look.
I'm trying to think of the word before baby settle. I'm not your, you know, your permanent babysitter, you know, the babysitter that, oh, nobody that can help me. Let's drop them off at grandma's house. You know, she don't care. Grandma cares. You know.
But that's because that relationship has changed and it got it has to keep changing. And just like to give them space to make some steps for themselves. We're going to need them to make some space for us to have some adjustments in this new life. And all of that can be a little daunting on both sides. You know,
that's
like,
true.
Hey, you're supposed to just be here waiting for me. And it's like, not so much, you know. You
not
have
so
your
much.
Own life now, and mom's got your own life. So, well, look, I so appreciate you calling in, sharing about those young folks. It's so important that we give them space, and not just space to grow. One thing you said, I heard you say, boundaries. You know what I'm saying? We have to create new boundaries for them so that they can grow. I know I had a wonderful approach. You know, you get a minute to start kind of step around and make little baby steps. But then there's a point where I'd be like, hey, you're supposed to know that. You know, I don't know why I keep telling you this. And, you know, and then they're like, oh, I'm like, I'm not going to let you get away with that. I have to kind of put my foot down on you because, you know, I don't want to see you making these rookie mistakes, you know. And so those boundaries are very necessary. You know, as we get older, there is, you know, you want more responsibility. I'm hearing respect. I'm hearing all these great words. Okay. Also, that also means that you're going, you know, it's going to come a little faster, you know, and I'm going to need you to stay on top of it. You know, you can't be a baby when it's time for disciplines and stuff, but then you want to be, you know, big and bold when, you know, you want to be making decisions. You know, one thing I always, I said to Solomon, you know, he said, oh, Mom, I have a problem. I said, okay, no problem. I said, work on that. I can fix that. I was like, but if it's my, if you're giving me the problem, I'm going to fix it the way I feel like fixing it. And you may not like it. So the question is it my problem or do you want to keep the problem? If it's your problem, all I'm going to do is give you some advice. I'll give you some good advice, and then you can keep it moving from there, you know. And he thinks about it. He's like, okay, if I get my mom involved, she is going to be the whirlwind, okay? So do I want to keep this myself, or do mm-hmm. I want to bring her in? But, you know, I give him that option, you know, because,
that's right.
you know, I want him to be able to say, no, I asked. This is what comes with asking, you know what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
so,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, my dear sister, thank you so much for calling in and telling
you
us what you learned from them young folks.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
All right.
Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. You too.
Absolutely. Look, do I have any other elders over 40 that would like to speak about, you know, some things that they learn from these young people? If not tonight in their journeys with them, but what have they taught us? And there's quite a few things, you know, that I have learned from them. They are constantly teaching, just like we are. All you gotta do is keep your eyes open and you can see it. I got a call that I'd like to call in. Let's see. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Peace. Alafia, how are you?
Oh, Alafia, how are you? God, mama.
I am good. Yes. Yes. Baby.
Okay.
Yes.
What did you learn from these young people this evening?
I know. Well, first, let me say thank you to all of my baby/young adults that called in, you know, and spoke their truth. And, of course, you know, I have my notes, and I am listening. And one thing I can say is that it is a blessing that we are in that age of information, and we are
mm-hmm.
in that age of Aquarius where we have access to this platform, because
mm-hmm.
if I had this at that age,
yes.
I think I would have made different choices. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Not and yet having those opportunities, you know, presented
mm-hmm.
to me, and you know, like you said, having a computer in your dorm room, not until
yes.
you know, you was halfway through college. I mean, yes. I mean, you had to go to the library to get
yes.
to the, you know. I mean, I grew
and
up on the Dewey Decimal
too.
System. What?
Okay.
You
were
yes,
timed
you were
on
timed
that
on
computer.
It.
Yes,
you
were.
Sure was. You know? But being in that time, you know, I had that opportunity to be grounded, like Sister Joanne said, that age of Pisces,
yes.
you know, where everything was more earthbound. Now everything is more airbound, you know, so
mm-hmm.
it's more spiritual. And
mm-hmm.
I am blessed because the age that we were born in, we had the opportunity to have the information from both parts. Like,
uh-huh.
if you were born in the late 60s, early 70s, you know, we had the opportunity to have our great-grandparents, our grandparents,
right.
our parents in our lives. So they passed on information from coming out of slavery, Jim Crow, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of the things that they taught us was more of a protective, trying
mm-hmm.
to survive type of attitude, which was passed on to us. But then
mm-hmm.
when we got it, we were more like, you know what, I have the right, you know, fight the power. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We get, you know, we're getting ready to step out here. We're getting ready to do this. But then we also have all this technology that was thrown
mm-hmm.
on us. Like I said before, I remember when TV went off. Yes,
yes.
TV went off. There was seven channels, maybe 10. And that included PBS. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
With channel 13. I remember when I was the remote control and the antenna. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I remember having to dial that number on the rotary phone, and if you messed
yes.
up, you had to what? Hang up and start all over again. You know, you were high class if you had a push button, you know.
Okay.
So having the opportunity to see those things and go through that, I've seen a lot in my life and a lot has happened.
Yeah.
So a lot of times when we're trying to teach our children, you know, and I do want to say I apologize on behalf of those that didn't listen. I apologize on behalf of those that, you know, we wanted to push our agenda on you,
yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
instead of realizing that you are spiritual beings having this human experience, so I need to let God's will be done in your life. So it was
mm-hmm.
such a great thing to hear, you know, my niece, you know, say that I allowed her to be comfortable in herself,
mm-hmm.
you know, with
mm-hmm.
herself, because that's something that I didn't obtain until I got into my 20s, where I was comfortable
right.
in myself, because I was always told what I was going to do, how I was going to
mm-hmm.
do it, and if I didn't do it that way, I was a rebel. Nowadays,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, if there's any type of structure, you're like, oh, well, you're just following the norm, you know. I look
right.
forward to seeing them step out and be their genuinely and unique self. However,
mm-hmm.
along with that comes, and I wrote this down, is balance, respecting the differences, you know what I'm saying, understanding that there's order, control, coordination, and discipline. So, yes, I'm going to show you how this was done, and then you can go ahead and put your spin on it. It doesn't make
right.
a difference. Now, granted, you know what I'm saying, we don't drive cars like we used to. You know what I'm saying? Before, you had a key for the ignition, and you had a key for
okay.
your trunk, and you had a key for the lockbox. Now you can just step on a brake and push a button. So, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I've had for a month, and I don't know how to check my voicemail. Please, somebody help me. You know what I'm saying? And so we need each other. However,
yes,
if you
want
to know
do.
How to make that cornbread from scratch, I'm getting ready to show you
Look.
How to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Look.
If you want to really, if you really want to know that view, that wisdom, like you said, sit down with your elders, because you don't know when you're going to get that information. But at the same time, we need to sit down with our children, because out of the mouths
yes.
of babes, you know
yes.
what I'm saying, that
yeah.
information is going to come. I don't discount you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
No, I don't have physical children. However, I'm so blessed to have all of these children in my life, all to watch them all grow up and to learn from them and to add on to them. So now I realize that maybe if I had my own child, I might not have had enough time to deal with all
mm-hmm.
the other ones out here that may not be getting from their parents what they can get from me. So I thank God for God using me as that vessel, you know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying, and me allowing God to work in my life, and me allowing, doing it God's way. Yeah, I tried it my way. Well, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, tried it my
you
way.
Know,
yeah.
so.
It didn't really work
so,
for me.
I mean,
yeah.
yeah, you learn, yeah. Yeah. I learned that during the movie.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
well, look, you know, you're in such a unique position, an awesome position. I remember my aunties. I remember those people who my mother trusted,
mm-hmm.
who knew me in my upbringing, who I could
mm-hmm.
go to and speak to about things I could not speak to my mother about, because there were
right.
lots of things I could not
oh.
speak to my mother about. She was
oh.
not the one. Don't try me.
What?
Don't come over here. I got soap ready
nope.
for your mouth. You know, and I was like, okay. But I had
yes.
auntie.
I had
that
auntie.
I could
That's right.
say the same thing to and actually get
mm-hmm.
an answer. You know what I'm saying? And they were so helpful in my upbringing. And we did have an understanding as to, they knew me. They knew my family. They might have been part of the family, you know, but they had an understanding that I could speak freely or freer
mm-hmm.
with them.
Yeah.
And I, like
yeah.
I said, I've had an auntie save my life or two. You know what I mean? I've had one go to bat for me or two, you know.
I'm telling you, you know.
Save a tooth or two.
Yeah.
Say it again.
My auntie, I said, and then saying that, I just want to, you know, just lift up my aunt Marcellus because, you know, rest in peace. She's not physically with me, but I'm telling you, if it wasn't for my auntie, there were a lot of things in my childhood that I think I would have went a whole nother way. It's like they're an interpreter. Like, my mother could say something, and I did not understand it. My aunt would say it. I'd be like, oh, okay. You know, but then
yeah.
she knew
yeah.
just enough to go back and tell my mother
yes.
without breaking the trust between her and
right.
I. You know?
Right.
And so it was
yes.
like, you know, she had those big bosoms and that belly, and I would just lay across her, and she would just embrace me and just, you know what I'm saying? Ain't,
okay.
ain't nothing like no auntie. I'm going
to
tell you, baby.
I'm trying
ain't
to
nothing
tell
like
you.
Auntie. I'm telling
they
you.
Have
and then if you got.
My life.
What? Oh, my God. What you tell your mama that? Hold on. Wait a minute. I done called some folks who were like, I'm coming to get you. Don't tell your mother. I hope she never listens to this program, especially this
eyes.
One. But there's.
Look.
My
eyes.
My
hide until I get there.
Okay? To the grave, baby, to the grave.
Yes.
And beyond.
Yes.
But yes. I thank you for the show because it is so enlightening to really hear what they have to say. And I'm
yes.
open to learn. You're never too old to learn. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And to respect your boundaries and to respect you and to, you know, just to because we can't do this by ourselves. You know what I'm saying?
No.
So what we pass on to you, that knowledge we pass on to them, that lives on. That's a part of
that's
our
right.
legacy.
Yeah. That's right.
Thank you.
Look,
love
I so appreciate you. I really do. And I appreciate that auntie job that you do because the auntie job is real, okay? Everyone needs an auntie. Everybody needs somebody who they can talk to, that to go to bat, like you said, tell mom just enough, you know, not to kill you, but maybe if you need a little heads up. But so very important. I want to, we're getting ready for the prayer portion. Love the prayer portion. Young people, you are not too young to pray, okay? The second that you can start singing Elmo songs, you need to start singing Grace, you know what I'm saying? Do not think that your children are too young to pray. They're constantly, this is why prayer has rhythm and has, I don't want to say rhyme, but has a rhythm. There's a breathing point. We all stop and breathe at the same point when we're saying these prayers. And the reason for that is for, you know, for people to be able to memorize them. So don't wait until either A, you have a disaster that you want to get to know God, or until you think, you know, oh, I'm older now, and now I need to know who God is. You need to know who God is because you got a heartbeat, because you're, you know, you living, you still breathing air. Okay, as long as you breathe in air, you need to spend some time in your relationship with God. Okay, so you're never too young. Prayer is powerful. Prayer changes things. And when you are putting things in place, when you are making those positive changes in your life, then when you start to see your own control in your life, you start to really start to say, okay, you know, I said count every victory. That's a victory. Praying for yourself, you know, because grandmama always going to pray for you. God bless grandmothers, okay? They are special. Grandmom's always going to pray for you. Your mom's always going to pray for you. But there comes a point when you want to stand up and be a man. There comes a point where you want to stand up and be a grown woman, not play around with the idea. When you want to be counted, when you want to sit at the big table, okay? When you don't want a plastic fork, you want a real fork. That time, this is when you need to have a relationship with God. That's part of maturity. Having that relationship, knowing how to pray, knowing when to pray, can save you. I can't begin to tell you the mistakes I have made in my life, real mistakes. Mistakes like, afterwards, I don't know if you've ever made a mistake so bad. Afterwards, you sit down in a chair and you're like, wow, I'm still breathing. You know, when you feel yourself, you feel your arms, you feel your legs, you're like, am I still here? Okay, am I still living? Those are times and places and spaces when you know there's a God, because that's the only way you survive that situation. You know, when you know that you are an inch away from the car next to you, when you fell asleep in the car and then wake up and you're still rolling down the highway, when you are, you know, there's all kinds of examples of where I know for a fact between God, my ancestors, and my guardian angels, there's absolute proof, because there's no way I could have made it out of that without those divine beings being in place. So I just want to say to everybody, you know, you're never too young to pray. You're never too young to start that relationship with God. If you have children, because some people, you know, by the time we get to the end of our 20s, we have children. Your children are never too young to start their relationship with God. Your children will only have a relationship with God if you have a relationship with God. Very plain and simple. You will find out. Children don't do as they are told. They do as they see. They do what works. And when they see that this works, that's what they want to do. So I want to thank from sincere places and spaces in my heart the brave people that came on to share with us what, you know, the things that are important to them, what they care about in this current climate, this current volatile environment. We had to stop and take a second to say, hey, where's our young people at? Where are the young people that we're working with and working on, the ones that are seeing our examples, the ones that are building with us? Where are those young people at? And what do they need so that we as a body, as a wonderful approach, can help to start supply that? You know, young people, all of those that were on the phone lines and beyond, you have, I'm telling you, the phone lines have been packed the entire time. You got a whole slew of aunties and uncle or two that care about you, that want the best for you. And so whenever there's a need, you know, I always tell them, I start with the little one, do you need to talk to somebody? That's my question. Do you need to talk to somebody? Do you want another opinion other than mine? You know, that's a real offer. You know, do you need another opinion? Is there someone else you want to call a lifeline? That's what I ask line. You know, do you need to talk to somebody? Okay. That is the question I'm asking y'all / I'm telling you. Find you somebody to talk to. Make sure your elder knows, your mentor, whoever, make sure they know, you know, I need a moment. I need a place to speak. You know, can I be frank? And I tell them, if only I could be John, you know. But, you know, a place where I can speak freely. And so let's try to work on bridging this gap. And tonight we had as young as 17, as old as 32, but as young as 17 coming on talking about that gap. You know, if we start working on this now, by the time she hits 25, she won't feel a gap. That's my goal, is to try to get to the point where there isn't a gap. There's not a gap between sexes. There's not a gap between ages. There's not a gap between anything. I want us all to come together and to work for the benefit of the collective. So, you know, it's a goal of mine. It's what I work for. And when I have set my mind out to do something, you'll start to see evidence of it by, you know, starting with this show, starting with this opportunity to reach out to people and to help them and to just connect with them. We're not going to lose no generations on my watch. I want to keep everybody connected, everybody healthy. Let's give these young people sometimes the things that we didn't even have ourselves. And young people, be patient. We're trying, okay? We need you to try. So we're going to get it together. Okay, in for the prayer for the evening. Father, Mother, God, I want to come to you in a state of humility and a state of gratitude and a state of learning, of sharing, and a state really of emotional fullness. I feel so wonderful that we've had the opportunity to hear from these young people. May their roads that they travel upon continue to be blessed. May their families be blessed. May those that will hear the show later and be able to connect with the energy that is flowing here right now, may these young people continue to have you in their life, God, to allow them to still have good counsel, to know that no matter what has happened, no matter what has been said, they can always go to God. You will always hear them. You will always be there for them. You will build them up into the good citizens as we, the elders, try to set positive examples for them. God, we ask that you keep their minds safe from this world. This world is set out to eat them, and we ask that you provide protection for their mental space, their spiritual space, their emotional space. We ask that you set them on the right path. We ask that you help guide their parents as their direct teachers, their first teachers in life. And may their parents be blessed and have good, positive steps so that the child can turn around and be positive and be blessed in their steps. God, we ask that they never lose an ear for you, that they always are open to you, to your teachings, to your words, to your representatives, to your angels, to the ancestors that reside at your foot. We ask that you keep them close to you so that they'll be far away from the negativity of this world. We ask that they be able to survive their lessons, and may they be humble in receiving their blessings. We ask these things in your name. Amen.